Nice video.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Hello, UN Dig. My name is Aaron Vieira.
Oh, and I am Andre Etonian.
And welcome to the first ever podcast of When Teachers Talk, the podcast made for teachers by teachers. Today, what are we talking about, Andre?
Or teacher candidates,
yes.
Yeah, so there's this technologist module that we were exposed to the other day, and just want to go through it with everyone and just give them our thoughts.
And was it just me, or did you have no idea what the purpose of this thing
was? Well, I mean, the first time I opened this, there wasn't like an overall, like, hey, this is what you're going to find on this website. This is what we're going to talk to you about.
Yeah.
It starts with the scenario. I teach the same course in the same way and want to learn how to incorporate technology for the benefit of my learners. It's like, okay, so you think you kind of have an idea of where that's going, but...
Yeah, I felt so bad. I asked Bonnie for clarification after she explained it, and I still didn't understand because, like you said, the video doesn't... Yeah, they talk about Terry being an old school teacher, but they don't really explain what Terry can do. So there wasn't really a connection between what the module was actually teaching educators and then how Terry would actually apply it. So I felt like that video was kind of, you know, they didn't use it to its full potential. But I did some digging around just to kind of figure out the purpose. And they said it's to encourage educators to explore new ways of integrating technology. So it is for teachers after all.
And that is an important topic. You know, I think that's one of the topics that's covered most, especially in schools today, is like how do we incorporate technology in a meaningful way into our classrooms? And, you know, I figured like, oh, this is going to be a great resource to use.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. For those of you who haven't seen, so the module is kind of broken down. There's a side menu on the left. And it has a couple categories. So it gives you an overview and then it jumps into digital literacy. It has a and then they have this design thinking format, and it gives you like about 5 points: empathy, define, ideate, prototype, and connect. And then it just gives you a checklist at the bottom. So that's like an overview of what you'll see when you open this.
And before that, they talk about digital literacies, and you had a good point you were going to talk about.
Yeah, so I opened digital literacies. I was like, okay, I just need a definition, right? And then they don't really give you a definition.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of vaguely start talking. What literacy means, what digital literacy means, and then they give you about 4 links about like different people who define digital literacy, whether it's the government of British Columbia or JISC.
Yeah, and they're all defined differently. And like, they're so, I don't know what the word is, but like, I think they're overcomplicating it. Because to me, in my opinion, my own words, I would say digital literacy is the ability to explore technology to its own, like its full potential.
Right, or just like being technologically savvy, like you know how to use those, and if you're thrown in front of a computer, you'll actually have the capabilities to use the medium itself.
Yeah, and what they didn't say on the technologist module, and what I think a teacher who is digitally literate is someone who can assess students via technology, so maybe via the Google Classroom medium or something else, can teach students using technology, and then the last one is providing resources for students. Mm-hmm. Like that are online or...
Yeah, so going back to those 4 links, I didn't like that they didn't give you a definition because I kind of wanted this site to be a one-stop kind of all
shop,
thing. Like, if they have an idea of what they're trying to get across in terms of digital literacy, they should have just put it out there. Hey, this is what we mean. I understand there can't be, like, let's say one concrete definition.
Yeah.
But at least your understanding or what you want people to take out of it, I would have liked for them to go in that direction.
Right, right. Or maybe they could have a definition of digital literacy is based for teachers because it is teachers.
Right, that's true. That's true.
Okay, what's after that? What's the first one? Design thinking?
Yeah, so
this design thinking is just a fancy word for backwards planning. We talk about backwards planning in every course here at the faculty, and essentially that's what I got from that.
And I also made this point that design thinking is about people who design it will benefit from it the most.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, if you're involved in the whole process from start to finish, you're going to know all the ins and outs of whatever. Let's say you want to incorporate a PowerPoint or something, you'll know the ins and outs of all that PowerPoint.
Did you click on, so on under the design thinking approach, there's a hyperlink for methodologies. Did you click on that?
I did not see that one.
Oh, wait, remind me, I want to talk about hyperlinks after. But so if you click on that thing, it opens up this other resource that they've kind of embedded into their article because they didn't want to define these things on their own, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And it's so long, but they do talk about like 7 different reasons for design thinking. So there's like a goal-directed or a user-centered or a participatory-centered design. And I guess it's kind of useful how there's different reasons why you would want to design something to help your students.
Right.
And I don't know, I just didn't like really realize it was that in-depth.
I understand where they're coming from. They want to give you as much information as possible. But, you know, I think they have to be careful to not just overload with links and, like, as much information as they can. Like, one of the links they gave you was, like, a paper, and it was 274 pages to define digital literacy.
Which one was that one?
Yeah, that was under digital literacy. I didn't say anything about it before, but like 274 pages, I feel like
one of these four, the four.
The very first one where they have the hyperlink of digital literacies. I just thought that was overkill. I don't know. I don't know if anybody was actually going to read the whole paper.
Well, you know I didn't, that's for sure. Okay, since can we jump to hyperlinks right now since we just mentioned it?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I know in the class, everybody was like, Bonnie talked about who likes hyperlinks, and everybody said, I love hyperlinks. And I do too, because like they kind of open a side page so you can brush up on this definition of what you don't know or whatever. Yeah. But there are so many. And these hyperlinks aren't quick definitions. They're, like you said, 200-page scholarly sources, or like the one I was talking about had, you know, is a few pages. Like, this is so overwhelming. And then every single tab, there's what, 10 tabs here? Every tab has like three hyperlinks. So you're going to have at least 35 tabs open by the time you're done reading this thing if you actually dive into it fully.
And here's the thing, when you have somebody, let's say, who's completely new to like using technology in the classroom, somebody who's been teaching, let's say, for 25 plus years, and they're just trying to jump into this and they want to use this module, I feel like that person can easily become overwhelmed or go too far down this rabbit hole where it's like, oh, I have to. Everything this module says, I have to make sure I read every link, every little detail. And there might be a danger that I was like, what if we just get in the important information? And that stuff is great supplement, like as a supplementary at the end. But throughout the thing, I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. Because like if a millennial like us gets overwhelmed reading this, imagine like someone who's been teaching for 30 years.
Yeah, it was a tough read. It was a tough read for the most part, in my opinion.
So which one's next? Is that empathy?
Yeah, so under design thinking, they have five categories. The first one is empathy. And which I agree with. Okay, so for the designing something, let's say we're designing a lesson plan for students, you want to be able to relate this to the students and understand like their perspective, you know.
Yeah, and if you scroll down, there's this resource. Let me open this up here under empathize. I think they called it the empathy map. Yeah, empathy map template.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this was for teachers to give to their classroom, and then students could write their name under like a box that they were feeling, from what I understood. And what I really didn't like about this is that like we know we're familiar with so many resources. Like the first one that comes to mind is Padlet, for example, where students can log in and they can type their own personal thing that they're looking for, like what they're looking to get out of this piece of technology that the teacher can incorporate.
Right.
And this empathy map kind of has like these pre-selected boxes of emotions where the student can put in their name. So like the teacher can have a box for stressed out or overwhelmed or not seeing a connection, but the student never gets to express their own.
Yeah, there's a limitation in terms of creativity there.
Yeah, exactly. They're limited to what the teacher has.
It's a template thing again.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of not hypocritical. I don't know what the word is, but like they're trying to encourage teachers to be, you know, as technologically savvy as possible, and yet they're limiting them with these templates that everybody hates templates.
Well, here's my thing about it. They consistently use like these mind maps throughout the module. And I don't know about anyone else, but this is just me personally. I've never found the benefit of using a mind map. I've never been a big fan. For me, like I prefer giving like an ordered list or something, but I always found that a mind map was so incredibly cluttered. And they have one on the next point. So the next point after it, empathy is just to define, right? You want to define the steps about narrowing and identifying the problem. So like now let's focus on a small problem. Let's narrow it down to get to something. And then they give you this absolutely massive of a mind map at the bottom.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I did see that. I didn't even look through that. It's huge.
Well, I opened it before, and it was massive. But I just, if I'm looking at this, I'm like, I have no idea what they are trying to get at with this.
Yeah.
Because there's no starting point. It's just, and that's the problem with mind maps a lot of the times. You know, they're hard to follow, in my opinion.
Honestly, and I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't look at this at all because, like you're saying, it's hard to follow, and it's not. I didn't think it's going to benefit me because I wasn't going to understand anything out of this.
And here's the thing, though. I think there might be some great information in there. I've read through it, and they have some good points. But the way it was organized just immediately discouraged me. I was like, okay, I can't invest time into trying to understand what they're trying to go at.
I think mind maps are great for like doing like a draft.
Sure.
I have some ideas, like, you know, a spider web plot or whatever, but like for what they were trying to accomplish, I don't think it was effective. What's that D-School link? I forget what that one was. Oh yeah, just, okay. What's the next point?
So after that, they talk about
ideate. Yeah.
And ideate, so for me, is to form and build the ideal features and characteristics of how technology could address your learner's challenges. So like, how can you use, first thing, you empathize with the student, then you, all right, let's get it down to a problem. And now it's like, okay, how can we think of ways to incorporate technology to address this problem?
And like this one, I think, is the longest of the five checklist parts. Mm-hmm. And like, in my opinion, they added so much fluff into here. Like, you know what I mean? They added so much extra. It's like, I felt like I was a high schooler trying to make a, you know, reach a word limit on an essay. They were just adding so many extra words here.
One thing that I do have to say I loved that they incorporated was choosing a technology tool. Yeah. And they have two links there, the how-to section and the great tool list.
Yeah.
You know, I know they maybe haven't been doing everything great, but I absolutely love this because this is like what I was talking about. Here's the one-stop everything you'll need to know. So when you want to choose one, you can go to the, so they have the how-tos where they themselves walk you through it. If you want to do audio and podcasting like us or screencasting, creating videos, collaborative docs, they give you all the information you need. And then the great tools list, I mean, they have almost an all-inclusive of all the big ones of things that you'll, of technologies and ways you can incorporate them, like quizzing tools, polling, formative, collaborative learning tools. I have to say, it's like that was a greatly done section of the website.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the more important of the 5 points because, you know, you've done the investigating to find out what they need, your students with emphasizing and defining, but now you're kind of trying to solve the problem here. This is when you're actually breaking ground to become the more, you know, tech-savvy teacher and kind of be that.
And I think just learning, like, these platforms and how to use them is probably going to be, like, the biggest learning curve for these teachers, you know? Yeah. So I'm okay with them using the how-tos. Like, you need to walk them through it.
Oh, definitely.
Because that's going to be probably, like, the scariest part, if I could say. I was born on technology. I would never have an issue, but other people, you know?
Yeah, because we're born, you know, we grew up in the school system in the 21st century. We had access to all this stuff. So we never had to formally learn. We just kind of already knew about it. Whereas, like you said, teachers who have been teaching for 25, 30 years, like our parents' age.
Right.
You know, I still have to teach my parents how to send an email once. Well, no, that's an overreaction, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, then we got prototype, which I think is self-explanatory. So after ideate, when you come up with a way to solve your problem, prototyping is testing it out, seeing how effective it's actually working. Is it meeting the problems that you defined in the defined stage, or is it not kind of serving its purpose as you wish it was hoping to,
And they touch again, so they kind of, the way they want you to do it, and I agree with it, they on the prototypes, they had 3 sections, so they want you to design it, share it, and then refine it, right? So it's this ongoing circle where you're creating something, you're getting feedback, and then you're making it better, and you keep going until you reach this point of satisfaction.
Like those 3 points, define, share, refine, that's kind of like a cycle. So once you share it and you realize it's not making the cut of what you wanted to do, you refine it, then you start back at design. You don't have to restart at empathize, define, ideate. You kind of just stay in the prototype loop until you kind of get it to work how you wanted it to.
Right. And they also mention that how-to section once again in this one. So in case if you did miss an ideate, there it is again. So I enjoyed that for sure.
Yeah, me too.
And then
and finally, what was it? Connect.
Yeah.
And connect is what? Just sharing? Is that what it was?
Yeah, the exercise has you thinking about how you will integrate technology into your curriculum. So now it's time. So everything brings you to this point now where you want to be able, all right, let's see how effective is what I've been able to do, this design thinking process, how effective was it at getting the outcomes that I desired?
And if you scroll down on the connect thing, it says, there's a little title that says extend activities, and I love how they encourage you to share this via Twitter or some other medium with other teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like, it really hits close to home. I think I can speak for all of us when I say that, like for in-service teachers, because we're going to step foot in the door day one of September in our first classroom, and we're going to have, you know, no resources yet. And like, if we can get free resources from other teachers who have mastered these,
that'll be massive.
Yeah, that would help us like in more ways than I can even imagine right now. Mm-hmm. So,
because I think that's the most stressful part as becoming a teacher. Like, well,
definitely,
I make effective lesson planning or lesson plans in general.
Yeah, exactly. And then so that's it for the 5 steps. And then we have that page that Andrew mentioned at the beginning, the module checklist. So you can go down and see if you did all these things to become a more, you know, technologically literate teacher, and then you can check them off. And then there's this thing I didn't understand. There's a badge. If you apply to complete all activities, you get a badge.
Yeah, I think.
Are we in Boy Scouts? what's the badge for? I clicked on it, and then they wanted. It seemed like a lot of work. First of all, you had to submit some proof that you actually applied what you learned in this module.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the purpose of
doing
this?
From my understanding, I think what they want to be able to do is, you know, like to kind of give you a certificate. You know how we did the EQAO training?
Yeah.
So this is kind of like their way of giving you a certificate. Okay. Hey, this teacher knows about technology. I mean, I guess if you're like an older teacher and you would, I don't know, I guess I really don't know about this, but if you were an older teacher and people would doubt you just because of age, because, you know, just the way our society just boomed with technology in the last couple years or so, or decade. Maybe that would be beneficial to you. But like for me, I don't know, I wouldn't be too interested in this. You know, I feel like,
like
I don't need a badge to prove that I'm technologically.
I bet you 97% or 95% of the people who actually go through this module, if they do end up using it, don't end like get the badge because
I mean, if I just need something to decorate or I need more stuff on my resume.
Right. Fill in your portfolio,
Right. I mean, it's nothing bad about it, you know, to get it. But I just...
Yeah.
I personally don't have any interest in it.
No, me neither.
You know.
And you know what? I think... I don't know if we covered this already, but this entire module, I don't think someone like me or you would actually look at this because we're so digitally literate already. Like, if we have a problem in our classroom and we want to add technology, we're not going to go through this checklist. We already have this kind of concretely, you know, drilled into our brain.
Yeah, 100%.
We already know the process of doing this. So... I'm not sure if we mentioned that anyway, but just to reiterate on it.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, I think very, I don't know, I didn't like, the organization makes sense after you start digging in, you know, and once you get deep into this website and you go through the different menus sections that they have there, it kind of starts to make sense. But at the very beginning, I was just, what is happening? Why am I on this site, you know?
I do have, I was just looking at the one thing and the hyperlink caught my eye again. I do have one suggestion. Mm-hmm. If Ontario or eConfess Ontario ever listens to this, maybe if they could get rid of the hyperlinks and have like these bubbles, like where you click on it and just a bubble pops
right,
in.
Right.
So it's not, you know, 20 pages opening up for definitions and different steps and different,
and they can tell us they put those hyperlinks in there because they thought there was something useful within those hyperlinks. So
definitely.
Just highlight those useful things
exactly,
and don't make the reader go through the whole thing again.
Yeah, like that 240 page thing just blows my mind. But
yeah, that was overkill. And maybe they've had all these conversations. This is nothing new to them. They
maybe.
Just decided to take a different direction. But
okay, I think that wraps it up for our first podcast, Andre.
Right, this was successful first one.
Yeah.
I would say so.
So thank you for tuning in to When Teachers Talk, the podcast for teachers by teachers. I'm Aaron Vieira.
I'm Andre Tonian.
And have a great last 3 weeks of school in service teachers.